Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on government intrusion upon your liberty and individual rights when we come back. You know, once in a while, we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Swinton outraged all of his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now, you know it, and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now you know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program. It's this New World Order. The men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers and the Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order, this Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and this New World Order, why don't you call and order our free General Law Compact Disc Package first. It's educational, it's entertaining, and it's informative. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, and download it direct. If you're not online, then give us a call here at the school. The number is 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about threat analysis. It's a treatise written by Joel Skousen in his book Strategic Relocation. Skousen's phone number is 801-224-4746. Got your pencil out there? Get it out. Sharpen it on both ends here. Skousen. His name is Joel, J-O-E-L. And his phone number is 801-224-4746. Now, that's an email address also goes along with this. It's J-O-E-L-S, Joel's at joelskousen.com. J-O-E-L-S at J-O-E-L-S-K-O-U-S-E-N, joelskousen.com. All right. Now, he wrote a treatise here as a part of his book on strategic relocation. Now, last week, if you'll remember, we took a look at his treatise on atomic war, nuclear war. He's got a second one in here in which he takes on this concept or this principle of how do you get the message out and how do you convert or convict all of your fellow Americans to vote the scoundrels out and vote the good guys in. And that leads us to the subject matter that we're talking about here, the conspiracy. You see, the conspiracy is so well orchestrated and is so far along, you're not going to persuade people that this is a threat to your health, safety, and welfare. The people of America believe that the political and economic establishment that's in place is their salvation. It actually is going to be their demise, but they believe it's going to be their salvation. So you can, you know, for practical purposes, you can just forget about trying to tell your neighbor over here about health care insurance and politics and economics. He can't grasp that. That's beyond his control. He's been controlled and manipulated for so long. He's been educated in the public school system. And he believes in his politicians and his economic system. Now, communism and socialism has failed throughout history. But when he went to public school, he learned that Franklin Roosevelt, who initiated this program, was the savior of America. It was capitalism that caused the Great Depression and destroyed our economy. It was Franklin Roosevelt and the socialist policies that he adopted, Social Security, workman's compensation, unemployment insurance, that saved America. Now, once your mind has been perverted to that degree, you're not going to change that guy. So that's why I tell my listeners and I tell my students, hell, I'm not here to convince you that I'm right. That's not my mission in life. I just came here to deliver a message. The message is, this won't work. The ultimate end of it is death. God, our Creator, gave us a line along that line. It's in Proverbs 14, verse 12. He said, there's a way that seems right to a man. It is so logical. It is so plain. So understandable. But he goes on to say, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So the American people believe that Tim Gaither, the president, Harry Reid, and Nancy Pelosi, along with our Congress, have a plan to save us from the economic debacle. The end of that plan is death. That's the end of that plan. It will be death. Now, there's a way that seems right to a man, and they're telling us about peace. We need peace in the Middle East, peace among the Israelis and the Palestinians, peace in Iraq, and peace in Afghanistan, and peace in North Korea, and peace, peace, when there is no peace. There hasn't been any peace. There isn't any peace, and there is not going to be any peace on earth. War is at the door. And our God told us that in Jeremiah. He says, when they're out here crying and telling you about peace, peace, when there is no peace, you'll know that war is right around the corner. The more I hear these fools talk about peace, the more I prepare for war. How do I know that? Well, that's what God himself said. Now, most of you people are educated, went to the public school system. You don't believe in God. You believe in evolution, and you think that the Bible is foolishness. That's a part of the conspiracy. If you bought into that, well fine, fine. I'm not here to persuade you that you're wrong and that I'm right. I just came here to deliver a message. And part of the message that I wanted to deliver is located in a book. This guy, Joel Skousen, I think hit the nail right on the head, talking about government intrusion upon liberty and individual rights. So last time we're talking about the first thing that the conspiracy had to do was to take control of the thinking of the majority of people. You can't make everybody believe a lie, but you can make most people believe a lie. most. You can get the majority to believe it. And that's what they've done. First of all, they started with mandatory public schooling, control of the press, cultivating believable and likable political liars, and then controlling both political parties. They've got that one under control. That's already been done. It's past tense. Now, the second thing that the conspiracy has to do is to control the courts, and especially the highest courts, so that non-cooperating lower court judges can be controlled or made ineffective. This is called the doctrine of stare decisis. Because a democracy can sometimes fail to produce enough unprincipled scoundrels in Congress to manipulate all of the legislation necessary. So therefore, it becomes necessary to use the courts to change law or to make good law ineffective. These backup avenues of control are important to avoid suspicion that might arise from too much control in Congress or too much control in the White House. And then third, they must control the military and police forces. This is called the police power of the state. This is almost always accomplished in a democracy by making sure that military and police leaders are totally committed to civilian control, and that their allegiance to defend the Constitution is made ineffective. To be safe, all non-compliant, powerful, and independent types are regularly purged from the ranks as they demonstrate strong differences of opinion. There will never be any more Douglas MacArthurs or George Pattons in high positions in America. Now, there was a time in America when we had highly principled, dedicated leaders. George Patton and General MacArthur were a couple of examples. Andrew Jackson, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. There have been strong political and military and judicial leaders in our country. But the conspiracy has to root them out. And they have. Now, to replace them is impossible. You can root them out, but you'll never replace them. And that's because the conspirators won't allow it. A John Kennedy simply gets assassinated. Now, Ronald Reagan, I think, got uppity. I think he had good intentions. And I think they showed him in no uncertain terms, you know, you get uppity with us now and you ain't going to live long. Because after that assassination attempt in 1982, Ronald Reagan was a different man, different president, different animal. Now, there's a theoretical organization table. Now, in order to accomplish these principles of control, those in power establish five levels of participants in the conspiracy in order to maintain power. Five group levels here in order to maintain power. Now, here's what they're doing. The first group is made up of a relatively small ring of conspirators themselves. And frankly, I don't really know for sure who is in this group. Now, I mentioned to you last time, the top echelon are the 13 members of the Bank of International Settlements. That's the number one policy think tank in the world, Bank of International Settlements. I have a list of very strong suspicions, but only a member of this group would know for sure. No one invites themselves into this group. It is by invitation only, after one has gone through a long, careful selection process, coming up through the ranks. They must have shown that they are completely committed to the cause of control by power, and that they are absolutely without principles or scruples. They must have demonstrated that they are entirely calloused against the promptings of divine conscience. These few are never ignorant of what they are doing. They know the difference between good and evil and right and wrong, and they love evil and the power that evil promises them. Now, it's my personal opinion that the highest leaders of this group are knowing allies of Satan the devil and have had some contact with the evil side. So I'm going to underline that. I think Skousen's exactly correct. He worded it this way. He says, it's my personal opinion that the highest leaders of this group are knowing allies of Satan, have had some contact with the evil side. And that's my observation also. So you got two of us here. We think the same thing. This group is never equal, and there is always a strong hierarchical structure here, and there is also a ruthless death covenant, such as Skull and Bones. George Bush and his father, both members of Skull and Bones. There is a ruthless death covenant that all are required to take, whereby any member who reveals the nature of their mutual conspiracy is silenced by death. Now, John Kerry, who ran for president against Bush in 2004, is also a member of Skull and Bones. All you had to choose between in 2004 was Skull and Bones A and Skull and Bones B. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. People in this group hardly ever take a top-level position in government. They are sometimes assigned mid- to upper-level bureaucratic positions, like a Henry Kissinger or a Zbigniew Brzezinski, to gain experience and to watch over and relay messages to those in visible positions of leadership who are or think they are in the seats of power. President Nixon was controlled totally by Henry Kissinger. Jimmy Carter, totally by Zbigniew Brzezinski. So, the president isn't the top echelon of power. He may be a willing co-conspirator. He may be an ignorant dupe that doesn't know whether his hind end is bored or punched. And that's neither here nor there. But you can rest assured that the moves that are being made right now by our Treasury Secretary Gaither and our President Barack Obama are carefully designed and orchestrated to destroy the economy of the United States. They are going to bring us down to abject poverty. That's to meld us into the New World Order. This is not happening accidentally. I've said the other day, I said, you know, if nothing else, accidentally these guys would make a mistake that would benefit the people. There are no mistakes, and there are no benefits to the people of America. We are being taken down, period. Now, is that going to succeed? Well, Bob Chapman is out here working mightily, along with numerous others, and they're writing newsletters, and they're on the air, and they're trying to warn the people of America, wake up, take control of this, and let's change it. Hey, wait a minute. What are you going to wake up to? What are you going to take control of? And just how do you propose to change this monstrosity? See, none of these people have an answer, so I'm going to tell you what the answer is. There's a God in heaven with his own agenda, and he has already pre-programmed the outcome to this new world order. And it's probably nothing like you think. The New World Order guys, they have a plan, but it isn't going to come out quite like they're envisioning this. I don't know exactly what the Chinese and the Russians have in mind here, but there is a God in heaven, and he says this is the way this thing's going to come out. Now, so far over the past 6,000 years, this God in heaven has a 100% track record. It's called Bible prophecy. And what we do is we take a look at fulfilled Bible prophecy and we compare that to the historical events that have already transpired, like the history of Greece, Rome, Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, and Tyre. And then we say, oh my God, this guy said this is what he's going to do to the city-state of Tyre. Here's what happened to the city-state of Tyre. It's still happening there. This guy is still in control. He said, I'm going to make this a place for the spreading of fishermen's nets. And to this day, Tyre is a place for the spreading of fishermen's nets. It's never been rebuilt, and it ain't going to be. And if you think that you can thwart the living God, then go build a city or a town there on the site of old Tyre. See how you do. Did the same thing with Babylon. He told the Egyptian king, he said, there will never be a native son to sit on the throne of Egypt from this day forward. And there has not been a native Egyptian sitting on the throne of Egypt since the 5th century BC. That's 500 B.C., 2,500 years of Bible prophecy is going on, has gone on, right in front of your eyeballs. Now, most of you have not heard that story. That's because you went to church. If you've been going to church, you're not going to hear anything about the God of creation or about the scriptures. You're going to hear a lot of lies and a lot of innuendo. You're not going to hear anything that comes from Scripture or from that God. Those religious leaders are a parcel of this international conspiracy here to take over the world and implement a new world order. They're a part of the problem. They're not the solution. Now, there's also a ruthless death covenant. Now, always remember that ruthless death covenant. These people are killers. You get in their way now and you're dead. They're sometimes assigned to governmental positions. Now, Nelson Rockefeller became the governor of New York. Henry Kissinger became the Secretary of State. Zbigniew Brzezinski, Secretary of State. I think he was Secretary of State. I may be wrong about that. Zbigniew Brzezinski was an advisor to President Carter. He's one of the Bilderberger insiders. Now, once in a while, you'll see one of them come to the fore. David Rockefeller has always been in the background, always directing operations. When David speaks, by God, everybody listens now. When David Rockefeller speaks, everybody listens. Now, remember, these are evil men that are motivated and operated, controlled by Satan the devil. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. If you want to know who's in control of planet Earth, and of the governments on planet Earth, it's Satan. It was Satan that offered Jesus his office, offered Jesus control of the world back at the time of the Roman Empire. You'll see that in Matthew 4, verse 6. And Jesus told him, no, it ain't time yet. I'll back off. So it isn't God, it isn't Jesus in control of planet Earth. It's Jesus who's coming back to take control of planet Earth away from Satan. That's the agenda. Now, meanwhile, back on the farm, we're going to go through some god-awful times. You got World War III, nuclear bomb war, the collapse of the world's economies. You've got poverty, the loss of your homes and houses, national captivity, disease, pestilence. You know, this H1N1 flu virus. Let me tell you a little story here. I'm going to break into the thought here. Some time back, there was a scientist, I don't know who he was, but he was with the NIH, and they had gone out and dug up some graves over in Norway where it's frozen. You know, you bury people in Norway, and it freezes, and those people, they don't decay there. They just stay frozen in the permafrost, I guess, forever. But they went over there and they dug up some bodies. The bodies that they were after were victims of the Spanish flu of 1918-1919. And they brought it back and they got those flu viruses out and they analyzed them and studied them. And you know, now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but let me fill you in. The Spanish flu in 1918 and 19 killed around 100 million people worldwide. Everybody exceeds to 50 million, but it's probably closer to 100. It was the most deadly pandemic in the history of the world. Outdid, it killed more people than the bubonic plague of 1348, which also is rumored to have killed around 100 million people. 50 million that they admit to. All right, so let me ask you this. As a Joe Sixpack and a Sally housewife, you take the worst epidemic, the worst pandemic, the worst disease or plague that has ever struck planet Earth. Who in his right mind would want to go dig up a body and then bring that plague, that flu, that virus back to life in a test tube in a laboratory? And why would he want to do such a thing? Now, if you are one of these world co-conspirators and you have a plan to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over 50 years, that makes all the sense in the world. That really fits in with an agenda of destroying millions and millions and billions of people. If that's your agenda, that's a good plan. That's a good move. If, on the other hand, your agenda was to protect the health, the safety, and the welfare of people, you wanted to protect people from disease, plagues, and epidemics, wouldn't you leave that virus buried? Wouldn't you do everything in your power to see to it that it never surfaced again? You know, it just depends on what your goals and aspirations are. So when I saw this guy, now let me ask you this. Do you believe for a moment that once this thing cut out, do you believe that the Russians now have not done the same thing? If the Americans have a Petri dish sitting at the NIH, National Institute of Health, with the most deadly virus in the history of mankind, in the hands of the Americans, do you think that the United States Army doesn't have that same virus? Do you believe for a minute that the Israelis have not gone around the world somewhere and dug up some bodies that died in the influenza of 1918 and they too have it in their Petri dishes and that their military has it? Do you believe for a minute that the Chinese are going to let the Russians, the Americans, and the Israelis have the most deadly virus in the history of mankind and they don't? Oh, boys and girls, you're talking about opening Pandora's box. So when I listen to the news and I hear them talking about H1N1 virus, and I say to myself, oh my God, are these madmen now about ready to unleash upon us another deadly plague, which is a part of their deadly agenda, part of their conspiracy? Hell, we have numerous testimonies of insiders that have admitted to this one, from the Club of Rome. So how is that going to impact upon you and me, Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife? The average guy is going to go down and get his vaccination. Excuse me, I'm not going to be in the line. I'm going to stay as far away from that as I can get. I think they're going to vaccinate you, and I think they're going to do it deliberately, and I think they're going to give you the plague. Or it's going to weaken your immune system so that when this plague does come about, you won't have any immunity to it. So just tuck it away in your heart that this first group over here is a group of the most evil, wicked men God ever put breath into. And they're knowing, willing co-conspirators with Satan the devil. The second level is made up of semi-knowing mid-level conspirators. These are men who are coming up through the ranks of power. They are very much aware that there is a group of very powerful men who really run the governments in each part of the world, but they may only know one or two of them personally. While coming up through the ranks of learning, they have been initially fed the line that this conspiracy of power is benevolent and that it's for the good of the world. It's for the good of mankind. We're doing this to protect men from the flu. We want to develop a vaccine so that we can vaccinate everybody and protect them from the Spanish flu. Isn't that special? Now, almost all of these leaders have somewhat of an elitist attitude, no matter what they profess in political speeches. They believe that people in a democracy have to be managed and fooled into doing what is good for the whole of society. These second-level people are always very well-educated, very ambitious, excited to work for the real powers that be, and may, in fact, be partially good people, like Hillary and Bill Clinton. I mean, they're nice people, just nice guys. Now, I don't believe that Bill and Hillary are as dumb as they let on. And I don't think that Barack and Michelle are as ignorant or as dumb as they behave or look on. And Brian Williams and Katie Couric, I find it hard to believe that you can rise to these levels of power, prestige, and position without having a better understanding than the average Joe Sixpack who's working as a mechanic over here at Mr. Goodwrench's garage. I find that hard to believe. Now, there are levels of ignorance, and I've got to confess, you know, I've lived a long life now, and I've been very ignorant for much of it. And as I get older and older, as old King Solomon once made an observation, he said, there's much sorrow in much wisdom. He's got a point there. The older you get, the smarter you get. And the smarter you get, the more understanding you develop. And oh my God, does that produce sorrow. Because the ultimate end to this, you know, when you're looking at young people and you say, oh my God, if you people continue on down that rabbit trail, you people are going to end up dead. And there's nothing you can do to stop them. These people have their minds made up. They fully believe the lies that they have been taught. So as an old man, I have to tell you, I'm sitting here on the sidelines shaking my head saying, well, I hope it works out for you. I hope everything comes together the way you think it's going to, because I think you're headed down the wrong rabbit trail, and I think the end of that trail are the ways of death. Now, that's my view. So as a reporter, I need to report that. So this is a good story. I think Joel Skousen hit the nail on the head. What he's talking about here is government intrusion upon your liberty and individual rights. And it's a treatise in his book called Strategic Relocation. And he's probably an old man. My guess is he's probably 70 years old, about like me. He's been around for a long time. He's been watching this thing come down. He's been putting two and two together. He's smart enough to understand, I don't know all the answers, but of the answers that I do know and understand, I can see this is really bad news for Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife. Hey, I got to give you a mid-course reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. And we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not eight schools and all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, and download it directly from the website. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that those authors or publications that we're endorsing and recommending are necessarily going to reciprocate or approve of us. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then we invite you to go to our website at georgegordon.org or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the book, Strategic Relocations. Started on page 145 through page 176, dedicated to government intrusion upon your liberty and individual rights. Now, all of us are going to be subjected to government intrusion, like it or lump it. We're going to have a California-style government socialist program. They're going to raise our taxes, regulate us to death, impose socialism upon us. They're going to transfer our wealth to others, take away our privacy and our guns. They're going to license us. They're going to force health care upon us. They're going to take away our midwives and send us to public school or public re-education and indoctrination centers. That's what's coming. And so as a Joe Sixpack over here, what I need to do is see, well, how much of that can I avoid? Now, God, our Creator, made this observation one time. He said, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself from it. Now, when the train's coming down the track and you're standing in the middle of these two rails, it's time to wake up and be a prudent man and get off the tracks. You ain't stopping, this train's coming through. Now, conversely, if you're a prudent man and you're seeing these events transpire, you need to hide yourself from it. Let's get the hell out of the way. Now, Joel Skousen has written a book called Strategic Relocation, and it's dedicated to get off the tracks and hide yourself from the evil that's about to envelop us all. I think the guy's right on point. I liked his book. I like his philosophy. I agree with it. And that's why I've recommended his book. He doesn't pay me to do this, so I'm not on the payroll, on the Skousen payroll. And I've read the entirety of the book. Now, I didn't see anything in here that I disagreed with. I don't know how much this guy knows, but I learned a lot. I'm an old man, and I learned a lot from this guy. Hardly any of these guys, you know, that I read their newsletters, like the Privateer, I recommend that highly. I never pick up an issue of the Privateer that I don't learn something from. So if you're 30 years old and you don't think you're going to learn anything, you know it all, son. I got news for you. As old as I am, I never pick up an issue of the Privateer or the International Forecaster or the Money Changer I don't learn something from. And I'm a student, and I work hard to learn as much as I can from as many as I can. I pay attention to people. And this is a guy that's worth paying attention to. That's my view. My opinion, I think this guy is worth listening to. Guy's name is Joel M. Skousen, J-O-E-L-M. Skousen. Wrote a book called Strategic Relocation, second edition, 2006, North American Guide to Safe Places. And he's got a telephone number. It's 801-224-4746. I'd jot that down. Even if you think I'm a nut today, you know, by the end of the week, you might say, well, maybe I'll give this guy a call. It's 801-224-4746. My guess is the book's $30. If it's $300, pay the $300. Shut up. It's worth $300. It's worth $300. Just the guide to safe locations, 3,500 counties in the United States. If nothing else, I would pay the guy $300 for the 3,500 counties and the statistical information that he's put together on each one of them. I think his book's going to be around $30. Dirt cheap. Dirt cheap. Buy 10 of them and pass them out. Now, he's also got an email address. It's J-O-E-L-S, Joels at joelskousen.com. So his email is joels@joelskousen.com. And if you want to write him a letter, say you're from Botswana land or Uganda and you don't have an internet connection or a telephone there, then write to him. It's 290 West, 580 South in Orem, Utah. And the zip code is 84058. Again, that's 290 West, 580 South in Orem, O-R-E-M, Utah. The zip code is 84058. All right, lost my place here, so let me get back up here to about page 149. Here we are. The second level is made up of semi-knowing mid-level conspirators who love power. It always reminded me of Bill Clinton and Hillary. Bill and Hillary work hard for the Illuminati. God, they just work their hearts out for them. Now, whatever goodness they may have innately is far overshadowed by their commitment to be loyal to the benevolent conspiracy to climb the ladder, which offers high rank, prestige, guaranteed perks, and unlimited job security. Boy, if that doesn't fit Hillary Clinton, I don't know what does. Now, these good old boys take care of each other. Composing this group are most heads of government, a good portion of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Federal Reserve, the Supreme Court, the Federal Judiciary, some senators, some congressmen, and many other governors and heads of government at all levels. This conspiracy is well-placed. Well-placed. And these people are sincere and dedicated people. If you take Arlen Specter, senator from Pennsylvania, that guy is a part of the conspiracy. He's one of those senators. He's good at it. He was instrumental in covering up the Kennedy assassination, the John Kennedy assassination, really good. And take a look at the commission that covered up the Twin Towers, you know, this phony war on terror. All right. All of those members are co-conspirators, well placed in the conspiracy. Earl Warren of the Warren Commission, well placed co-conspirator. I mean, these people are the creme de la creme of the conspiracy. And covering up these deeds, it tells you, hey, why do you need to cover it up? Why not just come right out and say, hey, this is who killed who, and here's how many people were involved, and here's what's going on. It's because if you people knew and understood what was going on, you'd probably stop voting the way you're voting, and you might do something different. And right now, everything's running perfectly. These people don't have any opposition, you know, to speak of. I mean, there's a few guys out here, you know, that are throwing some monkey wrenches in their gears, but it's nothing serious. There is nothing serious that is going to delay or detain the Great Tribulation. It's on course, it's on track, here it comes. Just get the Vaseline out and grease her up. Now there's a third group here. The third group constitutes the typical yes men at all levels of government who do their jobs and take orders in order to survive. These have absolutely no idea that there may be a conspiracy going on, but by their obedience training, and partial weakness of character, they end up doing the legwork for causes that have other hidden purposes and agendas. These people may have a good conscience, but they have no internal fortitude to fight against powerful adversaries. In other words, these are the kind of people that if they see evil, they'll hide it. They will not expose it. They may not like it, they may not agree with it, but they're not going to stick their necks out. They will keep any secret, no matter how horrible, simply to preserve their career and to keep their future pension intact. This group covers the majority of professional military personnel, the mid to lower level government employees. Some of my military acquaintances are offended by this, but when they really think about it, they remember how many times they saw things go wrong in the military and then kept their mouths shut in order to save their job. Now, sadly, it is symptomatic of how we slowly lose our freedom. There are not enough people in power willing to say no and to blow the whistle. Sure, it means losing your job, but I think that's what character is all about. There are not enough true whistleblowers in this world to save it. I do sympathize in one way, because I was in the military and I had cause to complain about many injustices that I saw. And I know how futile it is to fight when everyone above you in the appeals process is an even bigger yes man to the system, especially in the courts, which are more and more packed with second-level conspirators and even some first-level men and women. Well, I agree. That's my observation also. So when I read the International Forecaster and Bob Chapman saying, write a letter to your senator. Okay, you people in Pennsylvania are going to write a letter to Arlen Specter. Honest to God, do you believe that writing a letter to Arlen Specter is going to solve your problem? Hell, he is your problem. Writing a letter to Barack Obama or David Rockefeller or Henry Kissinger isn't going to change anything. These people are your problem. Now, it is theoretically possible. I mean, you know, if people would practice the Ten Commandment model, and if they would blow the whistle, every time they see wrongdoing going on, they expose it. And if you newspaper and you radio and television people out there, every time you see a story that's of wickedness and evil out here, and you would expose that. And if you government officials and you judges out there, when you see wickedness and evil, you expose it each and every time. Yeah, we could do that. But, you know, when you're covering it up and you're hiding it and you're getting along to go along or you're going along to get along, you're not going to change anything and you're not going to preserve what we already have. Now, that being the case, then, the train's coming through. So if that's the case, then Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife need to start waking up. The captain of the Titanic is not going to slow it down and he's not going to steer south. He's going to speed it up, and he's aiming it straight for 5,000 square miles of icebergs. Now, theoretically, you might be able to steer a ship traveling at 23 knots through 5,000 square miles of icebergs and miss every one of them. It's theoretically possible. But does that make any sense? Who in his right mind would steer a big ship straight through 5,000 square miles of icebergs? Well, Captain Smith did. And he'd been a captain for 39 years. And if you people had awoken one morning and said, my God, this man must be insane. Captain, stop. Let me write you a letter. Wouldn't the captain of the Titanic said, well, how much experience do you have? Hell, I've been running ships for years. You know, these senators and representatives like Dianne Feinstein over here, that woman's not ignorant concerning the Second Amendment. That woman understands the history of America and the history of the Second Amendment and gun control. I don't believe for a moment that Dianne Feinstein is ignorant or dumb. That woman is articulate. She's wise, she's smart as a whip, and she's wicked and evil. That's why she's doing what she's doing. It's with the malign intent of disarming the people of America. Why would she even care? Why would you want to do that? See, when we talk about gun control, what they don't tell you is that in the course of a year, 27,000 people die from homicide, and 17,000 are killed by guns. They tell you that day in and day out. What they don't tell you is that 600,000 crimes are stopped, prevented, or thwarted by people who have guns. Now, guns are a benefit to everybody. And they are not a nuisance, and they are not a harm to anyone. None. Not one. It is true that there are evil, wicked people who use guns to kill people. And it's true there are evil, wicked people that use knives to kill people. And those are evil, wicked people. But knives and guns are not evil and wicked or a threat to anybody. Now that's where reality is at. Now let's think about this and let's wake up and smell the coffee. We have a lot of wicked, evil people in high places in government that won't blow the whistle, that cover up for those that are committing more evil and more wickedness. And then you and I, you know, we're caught in the middle of this. Now, they like positions of power, and they're in positions of power. Now, there's a fourth level here that's made up of the enforcers. These are the unprincipled police and military macho yes men. These are the dirty tricks gangs that form cells in every federal police force, especially the CIA, the FBI, the Secret Service, and the ATF. These are necessary to carry out the few threats, suicides, and assassinations as necessary to keep the predictable types from defecting or letting their conscience get the best of them. And I'll present more evidence of this later on. But remember Vince Foster in the Clinton administration committed suicide? Worst case of suicide they'd ever seen. That guy didn't commit suicide. He was assassinated. And these kinds of assassinations go on day in and day out around the world. You know, they're not all brought to our attention like a Vince Foster. These people are just killed. And I think Nelson Rockefeller was one of them. For some reason, Nelson Rockefeller was terminated. I don't know why. I don't know what he did. But the guy allegedly died in his office. He was taken out of his office and cremated within 24 hours. When people die, they normally have autopsies, like, you know, take this guy, Michael Jackson. Why, there isn't a square inch on that guy's body that hasn't been cut open or dissected and analyzed to find out why he died and who killed him and who was responsible. A crummy entertainer. Nelson Rockefeller was the governor of New York. He was, you know, depending upon who and where you're at in the hierarchy, probably one of the most powerful men on planet Earth, one of the conspirators. He dies, and he's cremated within 24 hours. Nobody says a word about what caused his death or blah, blah, blah. All right, now that shows that there's power afoot there, doesn't it? Now, there's a fifth level here. The fifth level is not a formal part of any conspiracy, but it is a very necessary appendage. These are the majority of unthinking people that compose the general public, the Joe Sixpacks, the average and above average public educated person who thinks he has a good handle on life, but really has no idea at all about who is really running government. Having a group of people capable of being fooled and manipulated is essential in this power struggle. If we had a larger percentage of enlightened people who could feel the warning signals of conscience, the conspiracy would not get away with putting immoral and mendacious politicians in the White House. Common people of this type tend to believe all the popular excuses and explanations offered up by the media, the spin doctors, to explain away suspicious government events and behaviors. These people get all of their news from establishment media sources and are easily swayed by fads and the herd instinct. Most people have poor sensitivity to conscience, which explains why they don't have any feelings of suspicion and are somewhat trapped by their dumbed-down public education. And since the majority of people can be successfully manipulated by the media, which is heavily composed of predictably liberal types of groups, 1, 2, and 3, the conspiracy can almost always control the outcome of democratic elections. And any outcome that they can't control, they will simply recount because they control the computers. Now, one of the dumbest things that we do here in America is to go in and vote on a computer. Voting on a computer is like playing a slot machine. It's already pre-programmed with an outcome. Now, how many of you believe, honest to God, believe that you can walk into a casino, put a quarter into a slot machine, and win? Do you believe that? How many of you people, honest to God, now believe you can buy a lottery ticket and win $1 million? Huh? Do you believe that? Well, people that play slot machines and people that buy lottery tickets also are registered to vote. Now, you've probably heard, if you haven't, then you're totally out of touch with reality, about how these voting machines are rigged. Well, and that means the outcome of the election has already been pre-programmed. So, when you people in Ohio go into your voting booth and you push the buttons and pull the levers on these voting machines, the outcome, when it comes out, then you know how the outcome was pre-programmed before you went in to vote. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about voting machines. You know, hell, that's neither here nor there. But these elections are pre-programmed. Now, when you take a 3x5 card, used to be when I was a kid, when you went in to vote, you pulled out a form, and you marked on this form. You put your X here at this square and so on. And then somebody physically had to count that. And the reason that those elections were fair to Midland accurate, not totally, but fair to Midland, is because there was as many Republicans counting the votes as there was Democrats counting the votes. Today, there aren't any Republicans or Democrats counting the votes. It's the computer company that's counting the votes. That's why Joe Stalin always shined when he said, "It isn't who votes that counts. It's who's counting the votes that counts." And that's the computer company, which is hired by the Republican or the Democrats, or in this case, by the Trilateral Commission or the Bilderbergers or whoever. So if you're voting and you're wasting your time, effort, and energy pushing buttons on a computer over here, well, you know, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But you should understand that you're being manipulated, pure and simple. The outcome of the election is already pre-programmed, and it's going to be a close election. You just saw it happen in Iran. Now, the people over in Iran didn't like Ahmadinejad, and they wanted to vote for the other guy, and they did. And when it was all said and done, they got through counting the votes, Joe Stalin was right again. It's not who votes that counts. It's who's counting the votes that counts. And Ahmadinejad was counting the votes. It was a close election, but Ahmadinejad just squeaked through. All right? Now, that's the way that game is played. So pay attention. Let me give you a name and number here again for this book. It's Joel Skousen, Skousen, Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. Telephone number is 801-224-4746. Again, that's 801-224-4746. Or you can email him at Joels, J-O-E-L-S, at joelskousen.com. And that's J-O-E-L-S, at joelskousen, all one word, .com. Or you can write to 290 West, 580 South, Orem, Utah. Zip code 84058. Once more, that's 290 West, 580 South, Orem, O-R-E-M, Utah, 84058. Now we're talking about government intrusion upon your liberty and individual rights. We'll take it up right there next time on the threat analysis here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. One-way system of corruption guaranteed. All right, let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.